It's warning, warning, there's truth overhead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob and Your Life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. We have, I told you last week that we got a brand new mixer here, so we're back on the air. We were off the air for a few days, and we'd actually like to test this. So as we're talking through a few topics, if you'd like to call in, please feel free. Our number, 303-463. Now, I'm going to give you the number that gets you through the back room. Of course, you could always call 800-8-N-Yard, 800-8-N-Yard, that's 800-836-9278. But our backdoor number for those in Colorado, 303-463-7789, 303-463-7789. We'd love to figure out how this board is working. And by the way, this a wonderful, beautiful, state-of-the-art board we have here. And listeners we have in Alabama have they found out that we were off the air because of a technical problem, and they were just extraordinary friends. They appreciate this program, and they purchased a mixer board, brand new, had it overnighted here, and so we thank them so very much. And I'll just mention their first names, Michael and Lynn. So thank you guys, just wonderful. There is sad news, just so tragic. And, you know, Doug McBurney and I, we give our reason number X plus one, to take your kids out of public school. This one is just so tragic. And we've been doing this more in the last few weeks, because just to demonstrate that if you wanted to, you could do this full time. Every day you could do current stories showing people why they should take their kids out of government schools. But this one is a middle school student shot and killed his teacher, his math teacher, and then he killed himself. And this was in front of his classmates, other students who were gathering for class early today. So they have not, at least the story I've seen, they haven't released the boy's name or age yet, but he's a Nevada middle school student. And so obviously we know his approximate age. And he was a student at Sparks Middle School in Sparks, Nevada. So this is, there are just so many tragedies at our government schools. And this weekend in Colorado on a neighboring radio station, neighboring on the dial, there was a station, and they were talking about political correctness. And so, and they said, why is there so much? And I called in. I usually don't call into other shows, but I called in and said, I'd like to suggest that the reason we have this intense political correctness is because we've done away with God's commands, with God's absolutes. Do not murder, do not steal, do not commit adultery. And so still, God made us in his image and his likeness, and we desire boundaries. And so we're making up our own rules, and our own rules are the politically correct rules. And they're absurd, of course. They're counterproductive. They're even destructive. But we have those rules, whereas regarding what God has revealed to us, we're shaking our fist at God, and so we're in a moral free fall. Now, we'll go to the phones. Our number here, 1-800-8-N-YARD, 1-800-836-9278. So on our brand new board, from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Monty, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Well, thank you, Bob and Yurt Live. Nice talking to you.
Well, Monty, thanks for calling in. You give us a chance to test our board, too.
Well, it's over a real good subject, too. I was wondering if you know who took over the mantle of Henry Morris and John Whitcomb.
All right. Well, Henry Morris, I think I could help you there. Henry Morris, I think, is the Copernicus of the young Earth movement. Henry Morris.
Has he passed away?
Yeah, he's passed away. And his organizations that he started, the Creation Research Society, and especially ICR, that he headed up for decades, the Institute for Creation Research, that's now run by two of his sons. His one son, John Morris, is the president, but I think the guy who really runs ICR is John's brother, Henry Morris Jr. the Third, I think it is. So Henry Morris, who founded the father of the young Earth creation movement, he was Henry Morris the Second, I believe.
Do you know if John Whitcomb is still with us?
Well, I don't recall, but I bet you we could find out real quickly here.
I think I had heard that he was going to do a lecture in Cheyenne, but this was about 5 years ago.
Well, we sure don't want to report that he's not, if he is. And, yeah, he's age 89.
Wow.
Yes, he's age 89, and hopefully he's doing well. I think 89 is about the average age of Mike's staff here at Bob and Yurt Live. So he's probably playing tennis twice a week.
Well, I heard him lecture over the years, and I read up. I read up on, their main works, the Genesis Flood and the Genesis Record and a few others about every 10 years. And I was just wondering if there was any new publications that aren't too scholarly.
Well, let me ask you this. We just ordered two cases here at Bob and Yurt Live because of our Real Science Radio program on Fridays. Do you tune into that, Monty?
An occasion.
Well, we just ordered two cases of Walt Brown's book, In the Beginning, on creation and the global flood. Are you familiar with Walt and his work?
I can't say that I am. I've got several books, about 10 books, that I've been rereading one a day. They're usually very thin, except for the Genesis Flood and the Genesis Record, which are a little long, more in detail. The depth of my understanding, without losing the vocabulary, is really the Genesis Flood and the Record.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that's about all the farther my mind can go on it.
Well, Monty, let me suggest to you Walt Brown's book. Now, we sell it. Over the years, for me, it started back in the 1970s when I began studying the creation evolution issue. And so it's been 40 years for me. And during that time, I've seen scores of creation DVDs and, of course, hundreds of evolution programs. And I've read dozens of creation books and evolution books and probably a couple thousand articles on the topic. And over the years, what we've done is we have selected the best of the best of the best to offer at our store. Our website is kgov.com. And if you click on the store, then in the science department, we offer just Walt Brown's book, In the Beginning, and about a dozen DVDs, and then our own debates and interviews. And that book, In the Beginning, it's one of the best-selling creationist books. And there's, as in every area of human endeavor, there's competition. Just like there's competition among pro-life groups and among Christian schools and homeschool curriculum publishers. Well, there's competition among creation groups, and they don't all agree with one another on everything. That's normal. It's a big world and a big universe God made for us to understand you know, creation and the global flood. But Walt Brown's book, back, he ran for Henry Morris. Walt Brown ran their Midwest Center, which was called the Center for Scientific Creation. And to this day, then CSC broke off of ICR decades ago. And to this day, Walt Brown still runs CSC. And his life's work is called the Hydroplate Theory. And he publishes that in his book called In the Beginning. And I do think it's absolutely the most fascinating and the highest quality creation resource available today. And so I just highly recommend it. Now, of course, there are competing models, you know, and people who would disagree with one another regarding, you know, how did the global flood happen, when God created the firmament of the earth, what exactly does that mean? But I think you'd enjoy it, Monty.
Yeah, I study the scriptures daily for many hours a day, and that's my life. But every once in a while, I refresh my memory reading creation research information, and it's fascinating. It's kind of a downplaying it when you whether you're driving on the interstate in Denver or out in the prairie in Wyoming, and you consider the flood in its scope, it really makes all matters of faith put in a different perspective.
Yeah,
I'm sure glad we have a God that is almighty.
Well, I'm you know, to see what God has done in the creation and then his ability to judge the earth with a global flood, and that is simply a preview of the great white throne judgment. And when God will finally, he will take those who love him, and he, as Jesus says, you know, I go to prepare a place for you. Like mansions, as it were. And we will be with the Lord forever, but then there's also going to be a place for people who reject God, and they will get to live forever without God.
You know, this 2 weeks ago, sadly, on the radio, I won't mention what station in Denver, Christian radio station, there was a guy on there that was teaching annihilationalism.
Yeah.
As well as a second opportunity to repent after death.
Yeah.
And I was really quite shocked that he was on Christian radio. So I guess I won't say much more about it.
Yeah. Well, that is tragic. You know, Jesus warned the world about his own followers. You know, the Bible, for people who don't know, you know, which religion is true. And they say there are thousands of religions. Well, certainly there are not thousands of major religions, but there's a handful of major religions. And what's interesting is Jesus Christ made claims that were exclusionary. In other words, that he is the only way to the Father, and you can only have eternal life through him. And so it makes sense, even from an economy perspective, to consider the claims of Christ first. You don't need to. You could look at Muhammad and the whole scam of Islam, and you could look at Mormonism and the whole scam of Joseph Smith. But Jesus Christ, if you determine that Christ is who he claimed to be, then you've saved yourself a lot of time, because he said that all the other religions are false, that eternal life is only through him. And no man comes to the Father but through Jesus Christ. So you save yourself a lot of time, right? So,
well, I guess I was fortunate, because when I came to faith, I just took him at his word, and I knew I could throw myself 100% into trust in the word.
Mm.
When I came to creation, and I fell into the writings of the Creation Research Institute, so I bypassed a lot of the junk, whereas I see other people.
Well, praise God. Yeah.
family members that are still dabbling in Hinduism and all the other isms. But
yeah, like Hinduism, you know, a lot of the world's religions, they'll say, well, we're not exclusive. There are many ways to God. There are many ways to nirvana or paradise or whatever. And so you might find one of those and is this the best, you know, or maybe there's something that's more correct. Whereas with Jesus Christ, because he's exclusionary, you could save yourself the time it would take to look into a dozen major religions. Because if Christ's claims are correct, then we know by definition that all those religions are false religions. And as Jesus said, wide is the way, and many are they that go to destruction, and narrow is the way, and few are they who are on the path to eternal life. So regarding annihilation, you know what's interesting, Monty? When Jesus, the night before he went to the cross, you know, we've gone to Israel a few times, our audience, Bob Inyart Live, about once every 5 years or so since we've been on the air, we've taken a Bible tour of some country. And people could get these from us, like, for example, Bible tour of Turkey, Bible tour of Israel, and so on. And Jesus was on the Mount of Olives, which is just to the east of Jerusalem, and he prayed so intensely. And he asked his Father that if it be possible that this cup would be taken away, that we can't even begin to conceive of the suffering that Jesus went through for us, but if it's possible, take it away. And so I think we should understand as a fundamental reality that there really was no other way. There was no other way. And so if God could just annihilate all the wicked, just annihilate everybody and start over, that'd be, Jesus wouldn't have had to die. That'd be another way. You know, but when God does things, I think it's a mistake for us to think it's arbitrary or temporary. The Bible says that God put eternity into our hearts. And
it seems when you read his word, when you read his word and, you know, like I said, you study about the flood, it's all logical and rational, and it all, as you know, it all fits together, and it just all dovetails so perfectly that you wonder why not everybody gets it. Everybody gets it. I've got a son that doesn't get it.
Yeah, the evidence, of course, is overwhelming. But for the most part, people are not interested in evidence. It's their heart, you know, and if your heart is against God, then even if you see, you will not believe. Jesus said, even if they were to see a man rise from the dead, they will not believe.
Well, I was fortunate when I got tired of, I tell people, when I got tired of being Monty, I knew where to go. Hmm. I don't know how I knew. It was presented to me, and I just knew it was real, and I bypassed all that. You know, after I came to faith, I fell into some bad teachers.
Well,
from one bad one to the next. But within 2 years of looking, I came to sound teaching. But I followed a lot of the things, the aberrations that you see on TV.
You know, mentioned Henry Morris. I spoke 2 weeks ago on a Friday night at the Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship. And I showed a video clip from Henry Morris when he spoke in California at Chuck Smith's Calvary Chapel in Costa Mesa. In fact, Chuck Smith just passed away now a couple weeks ago. And at this event, it was called Passing the Torch of Creation. It had Henry Morris and Chuck Smith and Tim LaHaye and who was the fourth speaker? Oh, I forget all. For the moment. But Henry Morris spoke of the major ministries that now, he said, passing the torch has already been passed, really. And he said, of course, his group, ICR, and then there's Ken Ham's group, Answers in Genesis, And he named a few, but he went out of his way to name Dr. Walt Brown. He mentioned Walter T. Brown and Walt's ministry, and he said it had a national influence, which, of course, it did. Well, at the end of that, they made a DVD out of that event, Passing the Torch of Creation. And at the end, ICR thanks Bob Yardley, who's on the board of J. Vernon McGee's ministry through the Bible Radio Network and on the board of Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa and other ministries. And so I talked to Bob Yardley about Walt Brown and Henry Morris. And Bob said to me that that wasn't the only time that Henry Morris would mention Walt Brown. In fact, he heard him back in maybe, he thought it was 1999 when he was speaking at an event saying the greatest creation scientist alive today is Walt Brown. And that's why earlier when I recommended to you Walt's book In the Beginning, not only is it a tremendous book, but it's such a beautiful book. I mean, it's just gorgeous, full color, hundreds of pages, hardcover, and every page is, you have the excitement of discovery and the affirmation of God's word on every page. It's really quite a wonderful product that the Lord has produced through Walt after all these years. So
I'll have to see if I don't know. I don't think I've got it.
Yeah, well, if you had, you would know. Yeah.
Well, it's like I'm going to have to get it, but I'm always amazed at with John Whitcomb's writings as well as Dr. Morris with the, you know, their scientific approach and their hermeneutic. It's just that's, and I usually am smiling ear to ear because the crystal clarity of their thought.
Right.
Just the brilliance of their minds and the irrefutable arguments, and yet, you know what's sad? I was teaching a friend of mine this bits and pieces of about the flood over the weekend, and sadly, I don't hear many people, very many churches. I haven't heard back in 1984. I did in Atlanta. I heard a pastor John Whitcomb visited, but sadly, I don't hear much from the pulpit or congregations about creation, period.
Well, there's some, just like there's not too much in the battle to stop the killing of unborn children. There's not too much about the public schools being godless and dangerous. There's not too much about homosexuals being perverse and rebellious and needing to repent. And there's not too much about evolution not being true, but there is. I mean, of those kinds of topics, the creation movement is probably getting the most support from the most pulpits. So I think there's a lot of hope for the outreach of the body of Christ and for the growth of the body of Christ because of the biblical creation movement. These other areas really need our support.
Well, they seem to all kind of segue are interrelated, with if you don't have a respect for, if you don't have any faith in the God of creation, then you don't have much respect for that which he creates, the little babies. And it's just, we live in with this being the month of Halloween, this is such a ghoulish thing in our
world. Halloween is the high holy day of the public school system. Right? They don't like Christmas. They don't like Easter. But Halloween is big. They plaster that everywhere.
Well, it's even big in the churches up here in Cheyenne. Sadly, what goes on. I don't want to.
Well, sure. It's so despicable. In New York City, there are the two mayoral candidates there. They've both said that they support an effort to add two Muslim holidays to the calendar year. And one of those Muslim holidays is, they say, they remember when Abraham offered up Ishmael at Mount Moriah, which is...
Oh, they have real good memory.
Yes. Yeah, just so unbelievable. When we've been in Israel a number of times and in the old city witnessing to Muslims, Palestinians, and sometimes it does feel like you're taking your life into your hands by doing this, but they would reject the historical reality that the Jews had built a temple in Jerusalem. They would reject even that. And remember, Muhammad came thousands of years after Abraham, a couple thousand years after Moses. And the Bible for centuries was pointing to the coming of the prophet, he was called by Moses, the Messiah, the Savior, with so many prophecies pointing to when Jesus would be born, where he would be born, the manner of the events at his birth, his life, and his death, and all that expectancy. And so then you have Muhammad centuries later. Nobody was looking for Muhammad. There were no prophecies. There was nothing. And Muhammad took the paganism that was in Arabia. He took one of the 360 gods that they worshiped. He chose the moon god, Allah. And he said, well, Allah is the God of the Bible. And Moses is, you know, the Quran talks more about Moses than virtually anybody. It talks about Jesus, and it talks about Mary and, you know, Abraham and all. But they say that Abraham offered up Ishmael. So Muhammad simply ripped off the scriptures, was a false prophet, and put his own perverse twist on the teachings of God's word and sold it hook, line, and sinker to now it's hundreds of millions of people.
That, you know, it's the anesthetizing of humanity and the rewriting of history in order to try to cover up the, it's a false effort in order to try to cover up the brilliance of the Messiah.
Yeah, amen. Monty, thank you so much for calling in. Our engineer was happy because he was tweaking this board the whole time.
I'm happy. It was good talking to you, Bob.
All right, God bless you, sir. Appreciate that.
God bless you.
So we're going off the air, but our number 1-800-8-NUR. It also works if you want to get a copy of Walt Brown's book. And please remember this, the obsession with political correctness is because man's rules are replacing God's rules. It doesn't actually work, but that's why they're obsessed. It's with a religious fervor that they promote their arbitrary and destructive set of rules that we call political correctness. It's to replace God. It's not going to work, but that's their effort. Just like breaking God's law doesn't really break. You break when you violate God's law. But hey, we're out of time. KGOV.com. May God bless you.